The main theme of Purim is Nes Nister, hidden miracles. That is the main theme of Purim. Today is the introduction to the main theme of Purim. Nes Nister means as follows. Hashem runs the world. Hashem governs what happens in the world. That is our belief. Now, there are miracles in the world. Miracles means when Hashem intervenes in some sort of unique and special way. Now, sometimes Hashem intervenes where He breaks the laws of nature. When God breaks the laws of nature, what do we call that?
A nes.
What type of nes?
Nigla.
Nes nigla. A revealed open miracle. That's a nes nigla. Hashem changes the laws of nature. Where you see, whoa, Hashem's like staring you in the face. The Yom Tov of Nes Nigla is? I'm sorry? Absolutely correct. The Yom Tov of Nes Nigla is Pesach. Pesach was all about open miracles. The Makos were open miracles. Water doesn't turn to blood. Hail doesn't fall with fire in it. You don't have 6 days of Choshech where the Mitzrayim can't see any. I mean, these are all miracles, obviously. Kriyas Yam Suf was a massive miracle, obviously. Matan Torah was the ultimate massive miracle when we all heard Hashem speak. All of Am Yisrael became Nevi'im. You can't get a bigger miracle than that. The skies opened up, and we, our emunah is, our historical tradition is, that our great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandparents heard Hashem speak in a way that they were sure Hashem was speaking, which is an incredible concept to think about. That's a nes nigla. That's beyond. That's Pesach. Sometimes, however, Hashem intervenes in the world in a way, here is the sentence, where Hashem is working within the laws of nature. He's orchestrating events. He's doing things to help us, but it's within the laws of nature. When God works within the laws of nature, in a sense, Hashem's presence, Hashem's intervention is hidden behind the laws of nature. What do you call that? A nes nister, a hidden miracle. That's a nes nister. Hashem's doing things, Hashem's orchestrating events, but it's hidden behind the laws of nature. Let's say recently, just recently. So Obama was really bad for Israel, and an election's coming, and Clinton would have been just as bad or worse. We're finding out more things. And then this complete, total, narcissistic nutcase runs for president. It's like beyond words. And literally, people thought there was no chance. And then he wins. It's like weird. He wins. He's crazy. He's the president of the United States. He can press the button. And he might, who knows how he'd want to decide. I think that's the button. And whatever, for whatever the reasons, bottom line, he and his administration have become like the ultimate friends of Israel of all time. Now let's be careful about this. We trust in Hashem. You have to be very careful to not overly trust ever in any particular person. But clearly, there was a nes nister here. I mean, some might call it a nes nigla. The thing that he won, it's insane. He's a total nut job. But he won. Whatever. Okay, now, so that's, I'm being serious now. That's a nes nister. Hashem said to himself, you know, we need a couple of years where Israel needs more support than it had before. So I'm going to do this crazy thing. Okay. Now, nes nister happens when either, nes nister happens when a couple of ways of nes nister. One is, things work out. Different events all fit together to save Am Yisrael. Each event is natural. But imagine like you're reading a book, Lahavdil, and then this happens and that happens, and then it all fits in the end. So nes nister, one type of nes nister, is where everything sort of blends in one nice picture. And you see how it all fits together. It's like you're making a puzzle. A nes nister is a puzzle. That's one type of nes nister. Another type of nes nister is where something completely unexpected happens. Out of the blue. Natural, but unexpected. You got it? Like Trump. Those are two types of... When something ironic happens, So that's Nes Nister. So Purim is, the essence of Purim is Nes Nister, that Hashem is always helping us and always with us, even when we don't see Him. By Nes Nigla, you're in a sense staring Hashem in the face. When Bnei Israel crossed Kriyas Yamsuf, it said, Zeh Keli V'Anveyu. You could point, as if you could point. It said the Gilui Shechina on Kriyas Yamsuf was incredible. Matan Torah was, we could point. At the Purim story, there was no event in the Megillah that you could point to. Oh, there's Hashem. You couldn't do it. You got it? That's why it's Nes Nister. And this is why, there are several reasons why, but this is the primary reason why. What's missing from the Megillah? Hashem's name is missing from the Megillah. Because that's the whole point of the Megillah. Mr. Kosolova, this is, you could like this stuff. This is Rav Mendel Weiss style. The whole point of the Megillah is, I mean, you like other stuff too. The whole point of the Megillah is that even when you don't see Hashem frontally, He's there, behind the scenes. Where is Hashem in the Megillah? He is in between the lines.
Ooh.
Okay. I want to give one example now, and then give the introduction. I'll show you the Svarim. Just going to give you the example. The Purim story is, it's all, the Purim story, Vashti's the queen, there's a party, Vashti gets killed, the king wants a new queen, he finds Esther, she's in the palace, she appoints Mordechai as an advisor, he's hanging around near the palace. He overhears the king being threatened to kill. He reports it. It's written down. It's forgotten. Haman comes to power. And then, years later, not months later, not days later, years later, coincidentally, when Haman wants to kill Mordechai, they remember Mordechai was never rewarded by the king. And it all turns around, and the Jewish people are saved. Now, nothing miraculous happened there. Each one of those events would be in the newspaper. Let's say there's a party in the palace, that's in the newspaper. Vashti gets killed, New York Times, you know, would have King kills Vashti. You know, the New York Post would have like a front page, you know, the whole page picture, Vashti hanging, or whatever. Anyway, the New York Post would be different. But nothing miraculous. It's similar to, in England, the Times and the other one. I don't want to mention the name. Maybe the
London
press. The other one. Oh, good. You don't even know Baruch Hashem. That's good. That's good. No, he doesn't. He doesn't know. Good.
Hogwarts.
Mr. Kosolover, that was good. That was good. Listen. Nothing, guys. This is the whole Megillah. Nothing miraculous happens in the Megillah. Nothing miraculous happens, but it all fits together to save the Jewish people. That's Nes Nister. That's the essence of Purim, that Hashem is always there. And this is one deep reason why there's such massive simcha on Purim. Because simcha is when you feel Hashem is with you, I'm with God, I'm going to be okay. It's 3-3, they caught up, close to the end of the first half, but God's with us, because we didn't talk about it on Shabbos. And then you have this full court slap shot. Whoa, thank you. Okay, whatever. That was a joke. But the simcha is that you know Hashem is with you at all times. So that's Purim. Because Purim means I know even if I don't see Hashem, He's always with me. This is a deep idea. You got it? So, I just described the broad Nes Nister of Purim. Is that clear? Now, the two Mefarshim who look for and find the hidden miracles of the Megillah are primarily the Malbim and the Groh. The Malbim and the Groh worked on this. They worked on this. Looking for like these coincidences in the Megillah that sort of just fit together. Something unexpected. Something different. But it just happened to work out that way. Those are the Nes Nisters. The Groh's Perush on the Megillah and the Malbim. Now somebody took the Malbim's Perush on the Megillah and wrote it up in like an English, there's also a translation of the Malbim. That's something else. But they wrote up the Malbim on the Megillah in a fabulous book called Turnabout. Turnabout means that like it, everything turns around. This is a fabulous sefer. This is a sefer in English. It has the Malbim here and the Malbim here. This goes through the Megillah, pointing out all of the things that just sort of worked out in the Megillah, things that turned around, things that worked out in our Tasef B'nai Yisrael without an Nes Nigla. So we're going to do, in the next couple of days, we're going to go through the Megillah with the famous comments of the Gra and the Malbim to notice all of these things. Now again, they're not miraculous. They're not like, oh, whoa, whoa, maybe there's another explanation. But everything that happens just sort of fits. Just sort of fits to save Am Yisrael. Everything just sort of fits. So here, take one of these. The first thing you must know about the Megillah is the Megillah takes around a half hour to read. The Megillah spans 9 years. Starting tomorrow, bring a Megillah. The Megillah spans 9 years. You have to understand that. In other words, in the first parak, the Megillah says it's the third year of his reign. It says the third year of his reign. So the Megillah starts the third year of his reign. Okay, so Vashti's killed in the third year of his reign. Okay? The second parak says that it's the seventh year of his reign. In other words, when they searched for when Esther was actually chosen as queen, was, it says, the seventh year of his reign. It took a couple of years. And then the third parak and on is the 12th year of his reign. So it says that in the Megillah as well.
It's 9 years, the whole Megillah story.
Right. Now, why is that interesting? Because when Vashti was killed, that was a front page article in the New York Times. Right? Front page article, the queen is killed. And then it was forgotten about. It was only 9 years later, whoa, that became really important. So, time out. You know what? Okay, we'll start with, I want you to understand. Is that clear? That first thing you have to know. The Megillah is 9 years. I want to give you the one example. We're not going to start from number one. We're going to start from number four, because number four is a home run. And then we'll go back and start with number one tomorrow. Then we'll do one, then we're going to stop. Number four. Look in Perek Aleph, Pasuk Yetesen Kaf. So it says as follows. Yetzei Dvar Malchus Milafanov. Let the word of the king come out from before him. Now, who's talking? Memuchan's talking. Who's Memuchan? Memuchan is Haman. So now, what happened? Vashti was insubordinate, so Memuchan said she should be killed. Okay, that was the gist of what he said. So Haman had Vashti killed. Now, really, Haman's killing himself, because since Vashti is killed, that's what brought Esther into the palace, which brought Mordechai into the palace, which saved, which later on ended up Haman getting killed, right? So
like just
right. So the fact that Haman had Vashti killed is part of the Nes Nister, right? So that's obvious.
Yeah.
He killed himself. Now watch this. Yetzei Dvar Malchus Milafanov. Let the word of the king come out from before the king. Milafanov. From before him. It's a weird phrase. Let the word of the king come out from before the king. So the Malbim and the Gra say the same thing. Listen what they say. You know, whenever there is a big court case that affects the king, so the law in Persia was that the king couldn't paskin for himself. He had to ask his advisors. That was the rule in Persia. How do we know that was the rule in Persia? How do we know the rule was?
Because he had seven advisors that he asked.
What? Because Akash Ferish asked his advisors. Wait, guys. How do we know that the rule in Ahasuerus' kingdom was that when a big thing affects the king, he has to go to his advisors? The answer is because Ahasuerus went to his advisors. That's what he did. So that was the rule. You with me? Good. Whoa, now. Haman wanted to ingratiate himself with the king. He wanted the king to like him. Haman said, listen, king, Vashti was subordinate. So aside from killing Vashti, you should change the rules that from now on you can decide things for yourself. Yetzei Dvar Malchus Milafanav. Haman advised Ahasuerosh to grab more power for himself. Because listen, you've got to show us who's boss now. It isn't enough to kill Vashti. you have to make a declaration here, you're in charge, to make sure people realize you run the show, because your queen was insubordinate. So that's milafanov. Yetze dvar malchus milafanov. Let the king's word come from before him, meaning only you. Make a new law. From now on, you don't need to ask the advisors. That's what Haman said. That's what the word milafanov means. Okay. So you're writing. So Mr. Joey Frank is writing for the Cleveland Times, the Mesopotamian Shushan Times, and it says, king declares Vashti is going to be killed, and then page 6, it says on page 6, there's a new law, that from now on, the king can decide for himself. That's what Haman suggested to Achashverosh. Is that point clear? The diuk is from the word milafanov, let the king say it himself. So from now on, why did Haman do that? Because Haman wanted to, if I'm a king's advisor, and I advise you to take more power, you're going to like me. That's a good idea. Good idea, Ginsburg. I want more power. So I'm telling you to give more power. That happened in the third year of the king's reign. 9 years later, that advice that Haman gave killed Haman. That advice that Haman gave killed Haman. Haman killed himself. Why? Because later, at the second party, which is 9 years later, Esther says to Achashverosh, Haman's the bad guy. And Achashverosh is upset, and comes back in, and he sees Haman like on the bed next to Esther, and Achashverosh says, kill him. And what did Achashverosh not do? He didn't ask his advisors, because he didn't have to. If he would have had to ask his advisors, maybe he would have calmed down. Maybe Haman could have bribed them. This is beautiful. So Haman throws in a piece of advice 9 years ago, and that advice kills Haman. That's an amazing Nes Nister. It all fits. Haman killed himself. I have this in my book. Haman killed himself like 4 times. Haman killed himself. But the point is, it was 9 years later. See, when you read it, oh, it's half hour later. 9 years. This article that Joey Frank wrote for the Mesopotamian Shushan Times was completely forgotten about. That little addition, oh, the fact that Vashti was killed, you know, that was in the history books. The fact that the king changed the law, that from now on, he doesn't have to go to his advisors, that was there. No one thought about that. That killed Haman. Let me just read it to you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is in the Gra, and the mom says the same thing. He says here, he says, Perush, Shamelech Yochol Lasos Be'atzmo, he can do by himself, B'chol Afilu Mashenu Ge'elo, whatever affects him. Because anything big that affected him, he wasn't allowed to work on himself. But V'amar Zos, Ki Hakadosh Baruch, why did Haman give this advice? HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sovev Sibos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the one who causes things to happen. Kidei sheyecholin litro, says Haman, so Haman could be hung. Kimloheh amelch yachol lishbot davar mashnia, if Achashverosh couldn't do it himself. Lo hayachol litro, says Haman, until all the Sarim agree. And maybe he would have bribed them. Maybe Achashverosh would have calmed down. Is this example clear? This is a Nes Nister. Nothing miraculous happens. Haman gives good advice, because for his own sake, in a sense, and nine years later, this is what's so, what is the word? Where you miss something. You miss it in the Megillah, because the Megillah takes half an hour. It's 9 years later, that additional throw-in piece of advice came back to kill Haman. That's the Gra and the Malbim. That's Nes Nigla. So already we've seen Haman killed himself twice already. Number one, the fact that Haman wanted God Vashti to be killed is what allowed ultimately Esther to become queen. That's number one. And number two, the fact that Haman threw in this advice to Achashverosh also directly led 9 years later. So Bezrat Hashem, for the next, bring the sheet every day and bring a Megillah. We're going to do every day a couple of these, 15 minutes a day, going through the Megillah with the Gra and the Malbim, pointing out the hidden miracles. It all fits together. Purim is the Yom Tov of Nes Nister, and the title of the essay in my Sefer is Everything Fits. In Purim, by Purim, once you open your eyes, everything fits, including drinking on Purim. Well, we'll get to drinking. Masks. We have masks on Purim. Why do you wear mask costumes? So one reason is that the costume hides the person underneath. You're hidden.
Esther means hidden.
Esther means hidden. That's true. The Gemara says that. Esther means hidden. So meaning there's a real you behind the mask, and there's a real Hashem running the whole world behind the mask of history. It looks like this happened and that happened. It's all part of Hashem's plan, and we see these things. And if you open your eyes, you guys are young. You're not holding in this. In the from the mid 70s to the mid 80s, there was a 10-year war between Iran and Iraq. They killed each other. Before, way before that. Before that. I'm telling you, this is when you guys...
Not during the Bush.
Before. So my high school rabbi, Rabbi Hayat Shlita, said to us, Hashem's doing this. Hashem wants Iran and Iraq to not be focused on attacking Israel. So let them kill each other for 10 years. And that was his angle. I remember in high school he said that. He said, you should realize Hashem is running this world. Why they're fighting, it's unclear, but they're fighting about this and that. It was a 10-year war. So that's an example. So guys, you got the clarity? This is Purim. Every day, we're going to do it.